Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And today we have with us a very special guest. His name is Professor Kotlikoff, and he is the chairman of the department. He's a professor and chairman of the Department of Economics at Boston University. And we're going to be talking about a book he co-authored recently called The Coming Generational Storm. Professor Kotlikoff, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, now, of course, what you're really talking about here is the real problem with Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, and the fact that there seems to be almost a conscious effort to confuse us about the problem. They use all sorts of death statistics, and they seem to vary about the time of day. Could you sort of get into the background? Is there really a problem? Is there something to be worried about?
Yeah, there's actually an enormous problem to worry about. I think the best way to characterize the problem, and it's not just Social Security and Medicare, there's Medicaid, there's just government spending in general, which has gone out the roof in part because of the Iraq war. But if you, what the Treasury did about 2 years ago under Secretary Paul O'Neill was to look at all the future projected spending on everything the government spends money on, including paying interest on the government debt and principal payments and transfer payments of all kinds and paying for salaries for the military and you name it. So it looked at all the projected spending and it compared that with all the projected taxes from now off to the distant future. And it said, okay, let's figure out what the difference is between these two numbers. If you measure in present value, the value in the present of all the future spending and all the future taxes, what's the fiscal gap between these two? And the number turns out to be $51 trillion. This is according to the U.S. Treasury. This study was not released because it was censored the minute Paul O'Neill was fired. It was supposed to be coming out in the president's budget as part of the budget document, but when O'Neill was fired, this thing was censored.
Well, of course, the last thing it would appear is that the people in positions of power, whether they be the Democrats or the Republicans, the last thing they want is for the people to realize that $51 trillion is a figure beyond comprehension.
Yeah, it really tells us how much money we need right now to avoid having to raise taxes in the future or cut spending. Now, to give you an idea of how big $51 trillion is, in order to come up with $51 trillion in present value, we would have to raise federal income taxes immediately and permanently by 78%. In other words, we would have to have all our income taxes, both corporate and personal federal income taxes, be 78% higher every year in the future, starting this year, in order to come up with a number of $51 trillion in present value. Another thing we could do is wait 5 years to raise taxes. We'd have to come up with an 84% increase in revenue every year starting 5 years from now. So you can see that we have just a colossal fiscal imbalance, and to understand this, why this number is so big, you have to realize that just think about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid payments per old person today. They represent about $23,000 per head, per old person, per person over 65. Now, there are 76, 77 million baby boomers who are going to start collecting these benefits in a few years. So you've got to interact $23,000 per head times, let's say, 77 million baby boomers, but also factor in the point that the $23,000 per head is growing much more rapidly than real wages. Indeed, for example, Medicare benefits per beneficiary grew seven times faster than real wages over the last 4 years. So this number, 23,000, is growing like crazy.
Hold that thought, please, for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty and welcoming our listeners on board. Our guest this afternoon is Professor Kotlikoff, who is the chairman of the Department of Economics at Boston University. He's a professor there, and he's written a fascinating book called The Coming Generational Storm, What You Need to Know About America's Economic Future. And as you read the book, you find out that the future really doesn't look very good. We're talking about simply runaway inflation as a means of doing this, in fact, lowering living standards, older people, you know, of getting less and less in the way of income, unless something is done dramatically. And of course, it seems that the present-day politicians, nobody wants to face the reality of what the statistics show us about what's going to happen. And Professor Kotlikoff was beginning to tell us, you know, that we're going to have something over, 77 million baby boomers retiring here, in the next 15, 20 years?
Yeah. By 2030, all the baby boomers will be retired. The oldest ones are going to start collecting their benefits from Social Security in 4 years, their early retirement benefits. And in 7 years, they'll collect Medicare. So the benefit level per old person is very high. It's growing like crazy. And then that's interacting with just the number of people that are going to be collecting. And that's why you have such a big problem. Another way to think about this is in terms of the number of old people we're going to have in 30 years. We're going to have twice the number of old people compared to today, but only 18% more workers. In 2050, we're going to have enough people over 85 to fill up New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago, and several other major cities. We're going to have enough people 100 and over to fill up Washington, D.C. So that's going to gives you a feeling for how old this country is going to be. That's why things are this expensive.
Well, you know, the thing that really disturbs me is the fact, you know, that we hear that the national debt is $4 billion a year. Then the next time we hear it, $7.38 billion a year. And then suddenly we're hearing a figure, $51 trillion. I should say $4 trillion, $7.38 trillion. They keep moving these figures around. It's almost as if somebody's trying to confuse us.
Well, I think the fiscal gap number is the only one to really pay attention to, because it includes the official debt, but also includes all the unofficial liabilities, all the unofficial obligations, like paying Social Security benefits, like paying Medicare, Medicaid, like paying for government purchases of goods and services. So that's the comprehensive accounting that economists would recommend we look at. And we have, you know, on that basis, we're just in very bad shape. We may actually be in worse fiscal shape than Brazil today, or Argentina.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll bring our stations back on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Professor Kotlikoff is saying we're not in very good shape. We may even be in worse shape than Argentina or Brazil. Why? Those countries aren't really in very good shape at all. Are you suggesting that we're worse off than they are?
Yeah, I think that could well be the case. Brazil has a bigger official debt relative to its economy, but its unofficial debt may be a lot smaller.
And I think it's because they haven't made all these promises to provide for, you know, people from sort of the cradle to the grave, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all these other promises of pensions, government pensions, politician pensions. They haven't made all these commitments that we have, commitments. There really is no way that we can ever pay off, is there?
No, I don't think we can. I think that Brazil's made a lot of commitments, but I think they may have their health care costs a little bit under control, and that's a big boogeyman here in the U.S. because those costs are just rising without a stop, and the government has no plans for getting that under control. Indeed, the Bush administration made that problem a whole lot worse when it passed this Medicare drug benefit the way it did. Now, what's going to happen? You're raising that. I don't think we can pay these bills. So what I think the government is going to have to do is to print money like crazy to, quote, pay them, which means they're going to try and use inflation to lower the real expenditures. If you index the Social Security benefits, if you adjust them for inflation once a year, and you're running a 30 or 40 or 50% inflation, well, by the time the adjustment occurs, the people's real benefits will have declined dramatically.
But, of course, in the meantime, you wipe out the value of annuities and bonds and CDs and pension funds and even the Social Security benefits that people are going to be getting. I mean, if you have inflation, you destroy the very infrastructure of society, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think this is going to dramatically damage the economy. It's going to wipe out the official debt that we owe, the government owes, because it will be inflated away. But it's also going to wreak havoc on the private sector, because some people are lenders, and they're going to get paid back in watered down dollars. But this, you know, I have to realize that other countries that are have been fiscally broke have resorted to this time and time again. You go back to the Roman Empire, the year 300, Diocletian generated the mother of all inflations in that year by melting, you know, by minting coinage, which was which had a smaller content of precious metal, and he generated an incredible inflation.
But then he imposed wage and price controls to control the inflation that he created, didn't he?
Right. He had this whole roster of how much prices could be set at. So, you know, he was basically Richard Nixon back in the. Nixon was the last guy. I guess Nixon. Well, actually, Carter was the last guy who put price controls on in the case of gas. In our country, but there were huge distortions from that, and that's if that came about in the U.S. again, we'd again have some major economic dislocations just because of the price controls.
Well, you one of the points you make in your book is that the Vietnam War led to a tremendous inflation. We just didn't pay for the cost of the war, and of course they had to borrow money, and eventually then this resulted in sort of the runaway inflation that occurred what in about 1980 or so.
Yeah, the late 70s we had pretty high inflation, and We did basically renege on a good chunk of the official debt that was outstanding at that point, because the price level went up, and therefore the people were getting paid back in watered down dollars, paid back these on these treasury bonds and bills.
But people really don't understand inflation. I mean, they get back, they invest a dollar, they get a dollar back. They don't never think, as far as the purchasing power is concerned, that they may get a dollar back, but it isn't worth much of anything.
Right, so I hope that all of the listeners on your station, your program here, get this message, which I'm going to deliver, which is if you're holding bonds, U.S. Treasury bonds, corporate bonds, municipal bonds, if they're long-term bonds, which are not inflation-indexed or inflation-protected, then there's only one kind of bond that is, which is the U.S. Treasury inflation-protected bond called the TIP. If you don't have those, you should be selling your bonds tomorrow, because I think interest rates are going to go up, and I think inflation is going to take off, and I think the value of those bonds is going to sink like a rock in the ocean.
Now, how soon do you anticipate something like that happening? I mean, are we talking about a matter of months, a matter of years, a matter of decades?
Well, I think if the bond market woke up to the reality of our fiscal situation, it would dump bonds overnight, and that we would see interest rates jump sky high from one day to the next. And then the government would be forced to try and print money to lower interest rates, and we'd actually be off to the races in terms of the inflationary process. So when would this happen? Well, it depends when these traders on Wall Street wake up to the truth. They, you know, if you look at what happened to the stock market, a lot of smart people thought the stock market was overvalued, but they kept their money in the stock market, and then they took a loss. And I was one of those, to tell you the truth. I think a lot of other people think the bond market is incredibly overvalued. So I've actually sold the bond market short. I've taken a bet on the proposition that interest rates are going to go up. So far, I've lost money for the last year on this bet, but I expect it to happen sometime soon.
All right, fine. Well, now, why couldn't simply the government sell off its property, land, its assets, to raise money to pay the debt back?
Well, the government gets, you know, certain assets like the White House. The government, in effect, gets income from. In this case, it doesn't have to rent a place for the president and his wife to live and work. So if we were to sell off the White House, we'd have to go rent him some facilities. So it's really a wash. You know, if we sell any government building which is actually being used. Now, there is some government land we could sell, but you know, I think that the ability to, you know, we could just take all our national parks and sell them. Maybe they're not making as much money as they could. Maybe we can make a profit on that. But that would be rather strong medicine. But it may come to that. We may be selling, presidential cigars. Who knows what we're going to do?
Well, of course, you paint a picture, where we're going to be, that in 2030, as 77 million baby boomers hobble into old age, walkers will outnumber strollers. There'll be twice as many retirees as there are today, but only 18% more workers. How will America handle this demographic overload? How will Social Security and Medicare function with fewer workers paying taxpayers to support the program? And that's one of the big problems, isn't it, this demographic shift, as we've actually discouraged people from having children, as we've done everything we could to limit the number of children being born. Suddenly we find ourselves with not enough people to pay for the retirees. And isn't this true not only in America, but places like China and throughout the world, in Europe and in Russia, where there just aren't going to be enough people, enough young people coming along to make the economy go and certainly provide for the elderly who've been promised that they're going to be taken care of by the government?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not alone. Indeed, the U.S. is going to be one of the younger kids on the block in 30 years. The Japanese are about 20 years ahead of us in terms of their aging process. Their fertility rate is down to 1.3 right now. The replacement rate would be 2, because you need to have, each woman produce 2 kids to reproduce her and her mate. So the Japanese are basically having so few kids right now that their population growth rate is negative, and it's projected, even under optimistic assumptions, that they're going to have, that we'll have half the number of Japanese in 100 years that we have today. In other words, Japan's population is going to fall in half. Germany's population is going to fall by about 15%. Italy is probably by 20%. Spain is also. So China is also getting extremely old. It's going to be aging dramatically over the next 30 years.
Well, one of the things,
it's a worldwide phenomenon.
One of the things that really was rather shocking is Russia. You were talking about it going from 140 million people today down to what, about how many, 55, 70 million, somewhere there?
Yeah, it is quite remarkable. The Russians are not having kids, and they're dying at pretty young ages.
I think it's so shocking to see that, whereas here in the United States we die at, 76, 78 for a male, why over there they're dying at 56. That really is rather frightening. Why are the Russians dying off so young?
Well, they're a relatively poor country at this point. They really screwed up their transition from communism, and communism certainly was a bad deal for people, and their health care system is not very good. And they drink a lot, so that's my quick take on what's going on. And if you old retirees in Russia are living on $50 a month because they screwed up their economy in large part, and they used inflation to water down the real pension benefits they're paying.
And of course, this is one of the things I fear that's going to happen here in America, is inflation is going to allow them to pay off their Social Security. It just won't be worth very much. And so do you foresee the living standards of the retirees falling here in America 10, 20, 30 years from now?
Yeah, I foresee a major increase in poverty rates among the elderly and a decline in living standards in general. I mean, that's... the American dream has always been that each generation is going to do better than the previous one, but we're setting up things so that we're in for a fall, and we're really leaving a huge burden for our kids because we're not picking it up, we're not acting like adults.
Well, you have some suggestions in your book. Do you want to begin to talk a little bit about, because there are things that could be done if any politicians or the people had the courage to take a stand.
Right, yeah, we have two very simple proposals to fix Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Let me tell you about Social Security. What we propose is that we levy a retail sales tax, a federal retail sales tax, to pay off everything we owe under the existing Social Security system to current workers and to current retirees. But then we close down any further benefit accrual in that system. So basically, we close down the system at the margin, and then we use 8 percentage points of the workers' payroll taxes and put those into private accounts, a private retirement account, which would be invested in a global index fund of stocks and bonds. So the idea is you pay off what you owe under the old system with this retail sales tax, and then you put everybody into an individual count system.
Hold that thought for just a moment here.
Okay.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Inroad to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Professor Kotlikoff, who is the chairman of the Department of Economics and professor of economics at Boston University. We're talking about his book, The Coming Generational Storm, and I was asking him how we could go ahead and address this $51 trillion, that's with a T, dollars, that is a real debt. This is the one they want to talk about. This is the one that, of course, was discovered by Paul O'Neill. Those of you who haven't read Paul O'Neill's book, really need to get it and read it, called The Price of Loyalty. But he was the Secretary of the Treasury during the first year and a half or so of the Bush administration, and of course They just suppress that information when he was fired because they don't want the American people to know the situation we're in. We're facing the destruction of our economic system. And what are they doing in Washington, D.C.? They're trying to find more ways to spend more money. And yet they have more money for Iraq and more money for drugs and more money for education and more money for international birth control and all these sorts of things. And, well, Professor, if we actually had a federal sales tax, could we really trust the politicians to put that aside for the future? Or wouldn't they just go ahead and spend it like they're spending Social Security today? In other words, they're stealing from the Social Security, which they should be investing in, and they've done this going back to the days of Lyndon Johnson.
Well, my plan would prohibit that or prevent that. What happens under my plan is you use a sales tax to pay off everything you owe under the existing Social Security system, and then you shut it down at the margin so people don't accrue any additional benefits. And then at the same time, you cut payroll taxes by 8 percentage points. In other words, people don't pay a 12 percentage point payroll tax, they pay an 8 percentage point payroll tax to Social Security, 4 percentage point payroll tax to Social Security. So these 8 percentage points go into your private account, and they're divided 50-50 between husband and wife. And the government can provide matching contributions to the private accounts because if it wants to make the system more progressive, it can do that. If it wants to match contributions, for example, of poor people. And then all these account balances are invested in a global index fund of stocks and bonds and real estate securities so that people have private assets, but they're all exactly in the same portfolio, so everybody gets exactly the same rate of return. The whole thing would be administered by the Social Security Administration. We're not leaving Wall Street to charge fees or anything like that in this proposal. And then when you hit retirement age, the Social Security Administration would sell off your private account balance and transform it into an inflation-protected pension. So what under our scheme, the sales tax is used immediately to pay off the existing Social Security obligations and anything that's owed over time, it's used through time to pay that off. And then we also have a payroll tax cut, if you like, but people are forced to take this money from their tax cut and put it into private accounts, and then it's invested in private assets. So the government is never going to have any extra revenue under the scheme to play around with, to answer your question. But over time, we'll have a fully funded Social Security system or social savings system. People will be in the market in private accounts, and we won't have a super high payroll tax to have to contend with. We will transit from a unfunded system to a fully funded system, and by using the sales tax, get out from under this problem. Obviously, the sales tax is going to hit some people like, you know, Warren Buffett, for example, harder than the payroll tax. Warren Buffett probably doesn't pay much at all in payroll taxes, or if he does, he pays them probably in the first 5 minutes of his working life in a given year. Whereas with a sales tax, whenever he goes and spends any of his billions of dollars, he'll have to pay taxes on that spending. So a sales tax turns out to be a lot more progressive and generationally more equitable than a payroll tax. And the only group that's really fully protected from a sales tax is the old poor people who are living off of Social Security. Their benefits would be adjusted because the sales tax would raise the price level, but then their Social Security benefits would be adjusted in light of that. So they would be fully insulated from the sales tax. So anyway, that's the proposal for Social Security, and I can tell you now about the proposal for Medicare and Medicaid, if you'd like.
Please do.
Okay, well, those systems are out of control in terms of the total expenditure, and the way it works is that we basically send our health care bills to Washington without any control over the amount of those bills. So what we're proposing in the book is to give everybody a voucher at the beginning of each year to buy health insurance, everybody that's in Medicare and Medicaid. And these vouchers would be individual specific. So if you have cancer, you get a really big voucher to buy insurance for that year. If you're perfectly healthy, you get a small voucher. Government would control the total amount of vouchers that it gives out, so it could control the total cost of the system. But your own health situation would determine how much particularly you get.
All right, hold that thought for just a minute. We'll be right back in just a moment.
very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention that starting tomorrow and for the, about 6 weeks after that, over in Salinas at the Believers Bible Church on 121 Lincoln Avenue, they're going to start a three-hour session on the Institute of the Constitution to begin to train people about the foundations of our way of life. And it's really based upon a constitution which most people don't know. Now, if you'd like to know more about this meeting, call 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. You'll find it's a fascinating opportunity to learn about our way of life, why America is different than other nations, and to understand the Constitution, which is not taught in our schools today. That's starting tomorrow, so give a call to 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. And ask for Alex. Get the information on this exciting program. You'll be glad you do. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest this afternoon is Professor Kotlikoff, and we're talking about his book. It's entitled The Coming Generational Storm. Professor, where can people get copies of your book?
Well, Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of the major bookstores should have it. The book is co-authored with Scott Burns, who's a columnist, a personal finance columnist for the Dallas Morning News. He's syndicated around the country, so it's not just mine. It's a joint project.
All right. Well, we want to get then into, now you've already told us what you're going to do for Social Security, and that you're going to put on, how big, large a sales tax is this going to be?
Probably be about 10%, 12%. By the way, the president has mentioned this putting on a sales tax, so he also wants to set up private accounts, so he should just adopt our proposal and he'd have it all done.
Well, of course, the problem is we are already here in California have an 8% sales tax, so then you're going to put a 10% sales tax, so that would be an 18% sales tax on top of, you know, the regular price of the products we're getting. Do you think that you can sell that to the American people?
Well, remember, we're also reducing the payroll tax so that it's an equal revenue. It's a revenue neutral tax change. So we're cutting the payroll tax, but we are forcing people to put this money into their, into these personal security accounts, which I refer to.
In other words, the money that they save in their payroll tax will go into a personal security account.
Yeah.
That will be actually controlled then by the government and invested for them?
It'll be invested for them in this global index fund of stocks and bonds and real estate. And so everybody's going to have exactly the same fully diversified portfolio. The investment would be done essentially at no cost. And part of the proposal is that the government would guarantee the downside, so the people would always get the real value of their contributions back, even if the market turns south, which is extremely likely over a long period of time. So the downside risk would be limited, No, what President Bush wants to do is to let everybody go to Wall Street and play, or it's like, in effect, taking the American public and taking them to Las Vegas and say, gamble on your retirement. So you can invest in X, you can invest in Y, you can pay whatever fees you want. Our proposal is put everybody in an extremely low-cost, like 0.1 basis point index fund. It's fully diversified internationally, and don't let Wall Street get its hands on this money, and don't let people screw up their investments. Make sure everybody gets the same rate of return, because we don't want a retirement system where we're forcing Joe and Sally both to contribute to retirement accounts, and then Joe ends up rich in retirement and Sally ends up dirt poor because Sally took her uncle's tips on what to invest in.
I mean, you got that hot tip on this. This stock is sure to go. I get these things, these faxes every day telling me how I've got to invest in this stock because it's going to go up, you know, 100% in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I have yet, of course, to invest any of those. Well, now what about Medicare? You said that this was Social Security. How are you going to approach the Medicare system? Because that's even much more, much larger and really more certainly dangerous than Social Security, isn't it?
Right, because of the incredible growth of these programs. So the thing with Medicare and Medicaid is you have to keep a lid on the total expenditure. So under our plan, the government would figure out how much it could spend every year in the future, and then it would spend that money not by reimbursing doctors and hospitals for the care they provide these people, but by handing out vouchers to all the Medicare and Medicaid participants. And the vouchers would be individual specific. So if you had cancer, you get a big one. If you're healthy, you get a smaller one. And the reason they'd be individual specific is that if you have cancer, an insurance company is going to be reluctant to take you. But if you've got a big voucher to hand the insurance company, then they're going to be quite happy to take you. So the idea is to use the information the government has on people's health status and to provide vouchers that are based on their condition. So every year, and basically in October, you get a new voucher that would buy insurance for you for that year. You go to the you choose whatever insurance company you wanted, and you'd be covered for that year. If you got sicker over the course of the year, your voucher next year would be bigger. But the total amount of the vouchers would be controlled by the government, and the government therefore could keep a lid on the total spending. It's quite a different idea relative to what we've got, but we have to do something radically different to get control of the system.
But, of course, the government created the mess that we had. I practiced medicine for almost 40 years, and when we started out, nobody went without medical care. You could get a policy that, you know, if you were over 65 for $50 a month, the hospital rooms were $50 a day. Now, of course, it's $3,000 or $4,000 a day. And when the government gets involved, they've created all of the problems that there's no problem in medicine today that my fear is a new government program won't make worse.
Well, we're going to be eliminating the entire, under this proposal, we would eliminate the entire current Medicare and Medicaid system and replace it with a brand new one where there's competition. You'd have people going to insurance companies and saying, here's my voucher, and what are you going to do for me for my voucher? And furthermore, I'm willing to add a little bit more to my voucher if you can give me an even better policy. But we'd have competition back in the picture here. We'd have the government out of a situation where it just pays whatever bills comes its way. That's what's happening right now, which is if my mother, God bless her, wants to see five different doctors because she has a sore hip, all those doctors are going to send the bills to Medicare. Well, if she had to buy insurance, health insurance, at some point the health insurance company would say, look, you went to see one doctor, that's enough.
In other words, we're going to get, rather than the government rationing health care, it's going to be the private corporations. Because they're going to have to. There's no way they can let people do whatever they want to. There's got to be some element of personal responsibility, doesn't there?
Right, and this would introduce that. The insurance companies, people would probably spend their vouchers perhaps on HMOs or at least on plans where plans where you have to have a primary care physician and that person has to refer you to a specialist, there would be a lot better control. But in any case, the government would be setting an absolute limit on its total expenditures in terms of the total vouchers that it hands out.
All right, well, let's go to Dave, who's calling us from Illinois, and our telephone number is 1-844 Liberty, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24 Liberty or 464-8295. Dave, did you have a question for our guest today?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. A question for your guest. I know people who are part time at minimum wage, and they make so little money they don't have to file income tax returns. There are a lot of people out there, actually probably millions of them, truth be known. Sounds like your program of I think a sales tax would definitely bury them. I mean, people who exist on minimum wage, especially part time, they make so little. If they're taxed a sales tax, it'll just bury them.
Well, remember, Dave, everybody who's paying, even making minimum wage, is paying a payroll tax. What we're doing is we're eliminating most of this payroll tax, and we're coming up with the same amount of tax revenue from a sales tax. But with the sales tax, we're really hitting people like Warren Buffett, who've got wealth. We're taxed. The tax base for sales tax turns out to be the payrolls plus wealth. So we're actually expanding the tax base relative to the payroll tax when we, the payroll tax is based when we go to a sales tax. So these people working on for the minimum wage would actually, in effect, be taxed at a lower rate on their wages than under the current situation.
Well, then they'd have
my argument here.
All right, fine. There's the thing of Warren Buffett. You know, he lives in the same house he did 50 years ago. He drives a car that's 30 years old, something like that, or 20 years old.
Right,
so he's not paying much sales tax.
But if he gives the money to his kids and they spend it, they'll pay it.
All right.
There's one more critical thing. It depends what you put that that sales tax at. I've heard like 20-30% for that. That's a lot. That's too much for the poor guy.
I think it's 8%, isn't it?
Well, it would be whatever would be needed to collect the same revenue as the payroll tax now collects. So it's an equal revenue proposal here. So we're not talking about a 23% sales tax. No way.
I still suspect the poor guy would be hurt the most.
Actually, not.
I'm not a trying to sneak anything onto the poor here. Quite the opposite. The poor would actually be much better off because of this proposal. I really hope you'll believe me on that.
All right, fine. Thanks so much, Dave. And anybody else out there with a question, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, you know, back before 1965, when the Johnson administration brought in Medicare and then, of course, Medicaid, and we didn't have any problems in medicine. Now it seems that, you know, we want to go into HMOs. But I wonder how many congressmen go for HMO medicine. I will tell you, I would go to an HMO. I've seen how they've worked. The whole idea is ration healthcare. I mean, the more the doctor does for you, the less money he gets, the less he does for you, the more money he gets. And so basically what we're doing is rewarding the doctor for not taking care of people. I don't like that sort of medicine. Is this a viable alternative? Maybe we ought to get the government completely out of medicine and try to get prices back to some sort of sane level.
Well, that's our proposal, is really getting the government out of paying directly the doctors and the hospitals, but rather having paying people to buy insurance and getting some competition. Now, if you don't like an HMO, you could join my health care plan, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield, forces me to have a primary care physician, which I do, and if I want to go see a specialist, he has to agree to it.
Right, and of course,
so that's a way of limiting my access to the healthcare system.
It sure
is. Works
fine
for me.
But he is rewarded for not sending you to the specialist, and he will do everything he can to talk you out of going to a specialist, even if you need to go to one.
That's not the way it's been working in my plan. And the insurance company needs to get my business back the next year. Every year we're going to have a voucher. Every year I'm going to have a voucher, and every year I'm going to decide whether to go back to that insurance company or go to a different one. So they can't just not provide care. They're in this business for the long run.
But okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're harking back to the old days when the government wasn't involved, but certainly there was private insurance at that time, right?
Sure was, and I think that was a great system.
Okay. what I'm doing is I'm recreating the old days for you.
All right.
I'm recreating exactly that system for you, actually.
Well, would we be better off then maybe to have one system to provide for the hospitalization, because that's really the most expensive system, and then, of course, to let people pay for the doctors themselves? I think that may be a revolutionary idea, or at least pay part of the... somebody pay part of the price of the doctors, but the hospitalization is what kills people.
The voucher, the voucher plan that I have is, you know, suppose you're 85 and you had, and you're perfectly healthy, maybe you'd get an $8,000 voucher from the government. Now, you could go buy a policy that had high deductibles or co-insurance, co-payments. There'd be a competition here to offer you policies, but you might get very good catastrophic coverage. And that's kind of what I think I hear you saying.
Right.
So by having this, you know, reintroducing the market here, we'd have people being able to buy the kind of policy they want. They would have a voucher to do it with. So we're not telling people you're on your own, you're not going to get any government support. On the contrary, you're going to get everything we can afford to give you, but you're going to get to choose what insurance policy you want to buy.
All right.
And all the policies would have to provide a minimum set of coverage.
Well, where is the money going to come from for this policy? Because, of course, this is what's going to drown government.
Well, all the money we're spending, you know, we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars this year on Medicare and Medicaid. That same money would be spent on these vouchers. So we wouldn't be sending any money to the hospitals or to the doctors. It would just be spent on the vouchers. But then over time, that total would not grow any faster than the economy. It wouldn't grow seven times faster than the economy as it has in the last few years. That's the magic of this proposal, that the government could keep a lid on the total expenditures, the total amount it spends on the vouchers.
All right. Now, is there any support in the either the executive or the legislative branch of government for a program such as you're suggesting?
Well, not yet, but I'm hoping that some congressmen and senators will listen to your program and are going to go propose it.
Right.
It's a relatively new idea. It's very simple, but it would work.
Well, it may very well. Do you think the congressmen and the senators have the courage to do what's right? That's, of course, one of the biggest problems is, do we have anybody back there who really has the courage to take the bull by the horns and say, we got a problem? It seems like they're hoping that, of course, they can retire and then leave the problem to somebody else.
Yeah, no, in the book, we're rather pessimistic about people adopting our proposals, even though we think they're first rate. So we have the last chapter of our book talks about how individuals can avoid their own personal demise, financial demise, as a result of the government mess that's being created for us.
Well, could you cover that in the few minutes we have left? Because I think that's what I'd like my listeners to know. What can they do to protect themselves, not looking to government, but to try to protect themselves when what I believe is the coming financial chaos?
Well, one of the things I already mentioned, which is to make sure you dump your bonds if you hold bonds. Because I think interest rates are going to take off and inflation is going to take off. This is a good time to borrow more money on your mortgage and put it into, you know, if you're going to buy a bigger house or put on an addition, this is a good time, because chances are that those mortgage payments, you'll be able to pay those back in watered down dollars. I would also be very careful about investing money into a 401k or an IRA, unless the employer is providing a pretty healthy match, because when you take the money out in the future in retirement, the government may be raising taxes sky high. So you don't want to be kind of stuck in a tax trap in your 401k where, you know, you're pulling out the money just at the time the government's raising the taxes on those withdrawals. We also recommend a very highly diversified portfolio. I think the dollar is probably going to sink like a stone, so maybe putting money into, if you're going to hold bonds, hold British bonds or Canadian bonds rather than U.S. government bonds.
In other words, do what what Warren Buffett is doing, and that is investing in foreign bonds and in foreign currencies.
Yes, exactly. And being diversified globally in terms of your equity holdings as well. There's also real commodities, you know, oil
What about things like gold and silver?
Gold, silver, things like that you could certainly consider. Another thing is just figuring out how much you should be saving, how much more you should be saving in light of the possibility of major future tax hikes and major Social Security benefit cuts. I have a software company called Well, the software that we're selling is called ES Planner, ESPLANNER, and we have a website, esplanner.com.
Give that once more slowly so people can remember it.
It's www.esplanner.com, and it stands for Economic Security Planner. So it's the shorthand is ES Planner. And this software allows you to figure out what's your sustainable living standard and how much you need to save to maintain your living standard, but also how much more you need to save if benefits are cut in the future or if taxes are raised.
All right. Well, I'm really very, very concerned for many people who are facing retirement who could very well be wiped out if the economic turmoil that you're anticipating comes about. We're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, economics isn't called the dismal science for nothing, so I'm sorry if I've depressed everybody, but the truth hurts.
Well, this is what we want. Our guest has been Professor Kotlikoff from Boston University. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to once again mention the fact that there's going to be an institute on the Constitution. It's first of a series of four or five programs. It's going to be held in Salinas at the Believers Bible Church off 121 Lincoln Avenue, and it's going to start tomorrow morning, Saturday night, September 18th, at 9 o'clock. It's going to go to noon, and it's going to be every Saturday for about 4 or 5 weeks. Now, if you'd like to get more information, why don't you call 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. And, of course, Alex is putting this on. He's certainly been one of our supporters. He's put them on before. And the program is really all designed. There are videos that are done by Dr. John Eismo. There will be questions. There will be answers. And, of course, Alex has this whole kit, tells exactly how it's put on, and take you step by step by step to an understanding of the Constitution. And if you don't understand the foundations of our freedom, how can you expect to remain free? One of the big problems we have in America today is there has been an organized effort to dumb down the American people and make them think that we're a democracy and our elected representatives can do whatever they want to. And, well, the way the system is set up, they gerrymander the district. So, you know, probably there won't be more than a handful of congressmen who are already incumbents who won't be reelected. They'll all get reelected. Well, they will, unless, of course, the people find out how they vote. And thanks to the McCain-Feingold bill, they're not going to find out how they vote. That's what McCain-Feingold was. Had nothing to do with doing away with soft money. It had to do with keeping the truth from the American people. Well, one thing they don't want you to know is about our Constitution. Think seriously about getting started in this program. Call 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. Why not give a few hours to learn about the history of America, this wonderful nation? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is listener-supported. We're primarily dependent upon those of you who listen to us out across America to help us as we reach out across this country 5 hours every weekday, and then our weekend program going to 35, 36 stations. We're gradually increasing the number. And, of course, we're 5 hours every day on radio somewhere in America, 5 hours every day on Internet, and you can get us at RadioLiberty.com. or on GCNlive.com or on the American Freedom Network. That's and you want to get the websites for those, why they're available, at our website at RadioLiberty.com. American Freedom Network is AmericanNewsNet.com. That's AmericanNewsNet.com. We're on shortwave 4 hours a day. And if you want to get the frequencies, get one of our catalogs, go to our website, or simply give us a call at 800-544-8927. And then your job out there is to tell other people about our programs, to encourage them to listen by one means or another. And it's amazing, when people start listening to our programs, they begin to realize that they're getting the truth that they're not getting from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather. Well, poor old Dan, he's in real trouble now. Or certainly Tom Brokaw or any of the other people who work for the networks, and they don't dare tell you the truth. If they did, they wouldn't have a job tomorrow. This is the great tragedy. And if you believe we have freedom of the press, you need to read that book. It's called Into the Buzzsaw by it's by a former woman who actually worked for CBS, and of course, she tried to tell the truth about what happened in TWA when TWA 800 went down, and that was the end of her career. And of course, if you haven't read her book of why, of course, you've missed a great deal. And of course, the book is called Into the Buzzsaw by Christina Borgensen. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get that. We have, of course, four tape sets on mind control. We have four tape sets on the wisdom of Malachi Martin. We have four tape sets on Tuskegee and the plan of some of the leading scientists in America to kill 400 black men so they could autopsy them. A criminal activity, and you know the most amazing thing? Nobody was ever punished for that. We've got a great new book. It's called Seeds of Deception. It goes into the background of genetically engineered food. And I've always sort of wondered, you know, the environmentalists are always against the environmental genetically engineered food, so it's probably good. Well, I'll tell you what, after reading this book and then another book we have called Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare, why you would be very, very concerned about what's happening. And the environmentalists are absolutely right on this subject, and they're right on actually a number of subjects. Unfortunately, their movement is being used by the other side, by some very wicked people, but some of the positions they have taken are absolutely right. Fluoride, mercury, genetically engineered food, aspartame. It is simply the leaders of the environmental movement who are part of this whole movement of sustainable development, or betraying the environmental movement, because they're not interested in the animals, and they're not interested in the birds, and they're not interested in the fishes. They're interested in control over our lives. And of course, one of the things that we're doing is they are systematically poisoning us with fluoride. And of course, if you listen to the last program, there are too many people. There's no way the system's going to work. Why, we're just going to, well, the logical solution is going to be to do away with a lot of people, especially the older people. You want to get our four tape set on fluoride, you want to get our four tape set on mercury, you want to get our four tape set on aspartame, you want to get our four tape set on genocide, you'll certainly want to get our four tape set on the new barbarians, and then of course our four tape set on why do we have cancer. Seems like everybody's getting cancer today. Did you ever wonder why? Well, you need to get our material. You need to understand we're working against truly diabolical forces. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com, and you can get your Big Berkey products there. And if you do, why, you'll get a reward for doing it. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty until Monday. May the Lord be with you.